In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. We've completed our journey through the first volume of Luke's great work. This volume, he tells us, as he begins his second volume, the first volume was all about what Jesus did and taught in the body. And now we're about to undergo a shift. Not a shift where Jesus ceases to be the main character of the story, but a shift of the way that Jesus is the main character of the story. The first volume, he was there in body, in flesh. In the second volume, he will continue to be there in body and flesh, but it will be in the body and flesh of his followers, as he pours his spirit, his very self, into them for this journey. So as we begin this journey, we're told that Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples after he had been raised from the dead, after that Easter Sunday, 40 days coming to them, showing himself to them, proving to them that he was physically raised from the dead, and teaching them, opening their minds to the scriptures as we had heard back in Luke 24, opening their eyes to see the scriptures anew through the lens of himself, teaching them about God's kingdom. Now, this 40 days is a significant number. You may remember in the days of Noah, 40 days, the waters fell from the heavens, cleansing a broken, rebellious world, preparing it for new creation. 40 days Moses had spent on Mount Sinai by himself, receiving the Torah, the law of the Lord, before then bringing that law to the masses, to the people, to be heard. And then remember at the beginning of Jesus' own ministry in Luke, 40 days he had spent in the wilderness, being tested by Satan, being cleansed of all of the world's ideas of what it means to be the Son of God, before breaking forth and going into Nazareth to launch his new ministry, the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. So as Jesus meets with his disciples for 40 days, during the time of his resurrection, he is sort of cleansing them, as in the days of Noah. Cleansing them of the world's and the culture's way of thinking about things, and teaching them the new law, the new way of being human, the kingdom of God. And then we're told that Jesus gathers with them on that final day, with them in bodily presence. On that day, Jesus talks to them and says, "Look, I need you to wait. Wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Wait on God, his timing. He is going to send you power. The spirit of my very self to fill you and guide you in the days ahead." The disciples hear this and ask the question, "Jesus, is this it? Is the pouring out of the Spirit going to be the moment that the kingdom of Israel breaks into the world? The moment we've all been waiting for?" I feel like Jesus is again, as he has been so many times in the gospel, probably a little heartbroken by the disciples and their misguided question. That now would be the time of the inbreaking of the kingdom. I can imagine him thinking and saying to them, "What do you think just happened? The cross, the resurrection. This was the kingdom of God that we were waiting for. Everything in my preaching was preparing you for this moment. It's right here." But, he tells them, "The Father has his own times and seasons prepared. It's none of your business to know when." Times, seasons, plural. This inbreaking of the kingdom of God even though they basically missed it at the cross as they abandoned Jesus, it's going to keep coming. There's more times, more seasons to come. The kingdom of God is going to continue to break into the world. Remember Jesus' teachings. Be ready. Be watchful. So that the kingdom of God, when it breaks into your life, into your world, you're not caught off guard like a thief breaking into your house at night. So wait. Ready. Watchful. Because yes, God's kingdom is coming. You already missed it once. It's going to keep coming. Be ready to embrace it. And then Jesus tells them and gives them a task. You are going to be my witnesses. In the Greek, you are going to be my martyrs. Your lives, your bodies, as they are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are going to be the presence, my presence in this world, bearing witness to the kingdom of God that has already broken into the world. It is going to continue to break into the world through my community, through my people. You, in your very lives, you will offer your lives as a living witness, martyrdom for the sake of this kingdom, so that people will see your lives and know that God's kingdom is present and that it's broken into the world. Then as Jesus commissions them with this task, we're told that as they're watching, he begins to be lifted up into the sky. And there in the sky, a cloud takes them from his vision. And there they stand, probably feeling like children whose parents have just left them, wondering, what now? The comfort, the stability, what they had become used to of Jesus present in this particular way, suddenly gone. It's time to grow up, boys and girls. But they don't want to. So there they stare, just staring into heaven. And as they sit there and stare into heaven, two men show up next to them. Hey guys, what are you looking at? Why are you staring into the sky? Why are you gazing at heaven? Didn't Jesus give you a task? Why are you focused on heaven? Jesus said he was returning. He was pouring out his spirit. He was coming back. That place in the sky, that's not your focus or your destination. Get your eyes back where they belong. Are we, as American Christians, not a whole lot like these disciples? As Christians, sometimes I feel like all we do is kind of stare up at heaven. Eyes focused on some other worldly reality, thinking that Jesus left us and I can't wait to follow him into the sky. Isn't that focusing on the wrong thing? Missing the reality of God's kingdom that has happened and is happening in our very midst. I feel like as American Christians, we could use a couple people showing up and saying, what are you guys all focused on as you talk about this heaven and stare at the sky? Don't you Christians celebrate at Christmas that this Jesus came to earth, Emmanuel, to be God with us. Not God up there. Not God far away in a hope, in a future that we don't understand. But God with us here right now. Why are you gazing into heaven? God came to be with and among you. And by the way, he's still here. He never left. The ascension is not Jesus leaving us as orphans going away. The ascension is Jesus leaving in a particular form in order to return and be more present, more real, that his kingdom would pervade this world, not located in just a single man, but filling this world in his people, in his communities. God's kingdom is not something in the sky that we long one day to be a part of. God's kingdom is something that God brought to earth. Remember? And it's here to stay. That's the point. The cross, the resurrection was the moment. So, men of Galilee, men and women of America, get your eyes out of the sky, back on earth. Emmanuel, God with us, is here. His kingdom has broken into our world. It's right here in your midst if you have the eyes to see it, to embrace it. Yes, you will need to wait. Trust in God always involves waiting. No, this world doesn't look exactly the way you want it right now. No, death still has its fingers all through our world. But the resurrection also has begun to have its fingers all in our world as well. The kingdom of God has come through Jesus, and it didn't leave. Through his Spirit, it is becoming more present than it ever was through just one man. Why do you gaze into heaven? When God came to earth, to be among you, to bring his rule, his love, his forgiveness, his care, his new world has come among us. So let us not stare at heaven. Let us get our eyes on earth, where God has brought heaven. Heaven and earth are coming together in our midst. We've got work to do. We're to be his witnesses, his martyrs, of something beautiful happening in this world, in our very lives. Let us focus on that. God is here. His kingdom has come. Let's embrace it and not just be found staring into the sky. Amen.